Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the first Get Everywhere speaker for the 2012-2013 academic year. Today, we're going to hear from Kath Pinneberry, who has been the Glasgow Library Coordinator since October of 2000. A native of Chicago, Kath obtained her master's from the University of Missouri at Kansas City and her MLS from Indiana University. In addition to her library duties, she also teaches children's literature and English at the Glasgow campus. Her interest in language brought her to Tangier Island, where she found the strangest place you've never heard of. And today, she's going to share some of that strangeness with us.
Thanks. First of all, can you hear me? Am I on? Okay. This is Tangier Island, if you use maps.google.com. And I'll just scroll back to show you what it looks like in its place in the world in the Chesapeake Bay. You can go back and back and back. Now, you see how isolated that place is?
Wow.
That place is not accessible by car. There are no bridges to Tangier Island. It is one of the most isolated islands actually in the U.S. It is accessible. I'll show you that in a few minutes, but I wanted to talk to you first about the thing that drew me to Tangier Island. Tangier Island is famous for two things: its crabs and its accent. I couldn't care less about crabs being from Chicago, so I went for the accent. I heard about it in the late 80s in a public TV documentary called The Story of English, and I was absolutely riveted. I heard these people speaking, and I thought, these are not Americans. Americans don't speak like this, and yet these people, their ancestors had been there way longer than my ancestors have been in Chicago. The first documentary that I'm going to show you a clip from comes from that, The Story of English. There is another one that contains the stuff about Tangier Island, which I'm not going to show you, but just FYI, called American Tongues. And then there's another video bit made by a tourist who just put the camera on the people in this bait shop and let them talk. And so I'm going to actually switch back over to my video feed here. All right. Now, as you listen, just ask yourself, if you weren't seeing what words they were saying on the screen, could you understand it? I'll make it big here. All right, here we go.
For the age of a little child until 10 or 12 years old, until they start getting really mischievous, Tangier Island is a paradise for children. Because there's no crime rate whatsoever around here, except for maybe a speeding ticket every now and then.
It's a nice place and ain't a lot of traffic and all. There's just about 4 cars on this island.
One of the special peculiarities of Tangier's speech is the playful use of opposite meanings and double negatives.
He said, you ain't pretty, and then you are pretty.
He just say that you ain't a going, which you are, but everybody does know, well. He do say most of the time.
And then, like he say, if they just dress into a pretty, he say they ain't ugly, and they means pretty.
Oh, you just say it, but everybody knows what you mean, because everybody says it right here, and they know what you mean when you do say it.
Our voice, our language.
Okay, would you not just fall over if a little kid opened their mouth and sounded like that? As soon as I saw that, I was like, I have to go and make a pilgrimage to this place where people sound like that. It took me 20 years to go there. I actually, 19 to be exact, but I had it in my mind all that time. I'll just show you another little bit. This is basically just a video that somebody made just a few years ago going to Tangier Island, just trained the camera on some guys in a bait shop.
Same child as you do.
You're in Road Cartoon.
In Road Cartoon, yeah.
Do all those back in that moonshine.
Yeah.
Hang on,
I'm
going to
get
you.
I'm
going to
You get the idea. It is very difficult to understand them, and yet their ancestors actually have been on Tangier Island since the mid-1600s. Some of their direct ancestors that they know about several generations back had settled Tangier Island, 1680s, I think. Okay, let's go back to the slideshow. Okay, so now let's just do a few facts about Tangier Island. I'm gonna now step away from my thing. First of all, it's 6.5 miles long and 1.5 miles wide, which means it's not very big. There's only about 700 permanent residents, but in the summer, the population swells a bit with tourists. Those are the people who are there once the tourists are gone. It was first settled by Europeans around 1680, but it was very well known to Native American tribes. There's been archaeological research that shows oyster middens thousands of years old. Now, this is the key fact about Tangier Island that's going to keep coming up. It is 4 feet above sea level on a good day. Tangier Island is the setting, though it's fictionalized, for a Newbery winner, Jacob Have I Love by Katherine Patterson. Any of you familiar with this? Yes? I can't remember what she calls it, but it's Tangier Island, and there's even funny scenes involving cats, which we'll get to about the cats later. It is also partly the setting of Patricia Cornwell's Isle of Dogs. Now, this is not a Kay Scarpetta novel, and it wasn't one of her more popular ones, but it actually doesn't present the Tangier Island people in a very favorable light. So if you go there, do not ask them if they've read this book, like I did. Okay? It's not a good thing to do because they seem very crazy in the book. But anyway, okay. So what you have to remember about Tangier Island is everything about it comes from the fact that it is extremely isolated. There are no bridges to it. You really have to work hard to get there. The way the people support themselves is through crab and oyster fishing and through tourism. And the tourism is the much lesser of the two businesses. It's really a fishing, crab and oyster fishing center place, and that's really all there is to do. So extremely isolated. Now, you could say it's not hot, flat, and crowded, but it is small, flat, and marshy. That's Tangier Island from the air. Now you see, most of the island is uninhabitable. If people could live out here, they would. They don't, because it's half underwater most of the time, so it's kind of all bunched on that one end. I think this is the north end, and that's the south end. How do you get to Tangier Island? People have been asking me since I got here at 9:30. Well, you could fly, and this is the runway, and that's the airport. So, depends on how you feel about tiny little planes that have 8 feet of runway. Most people choose to take the ferry. Aha, there's me. The Tangier Island Cruise Ferry. Now, we took this from Crisfield, Maryland, and from there it's about an hour on the ferry. You could also take the ferry from across the bay in Reedville, Virginia. It's a little bit longer. So, ready to get started on our cruise. Now, what you will not find in Tangier Island, there is a long list of things. You will not find movie stars. Okay? This is not a cool place to go. All right? There's no shops. It's not trendy. There's no boutiques. There's no cool restaurants. And in fact, they have been approached by a couple of different Hollywood projects and offered money to allow filming to occur on their island, and they've refused them all because they consider these, you'll find these are very churchy people. They consider Hollywood movies to be immoral. They feature smoking, drinking, other things that the Tangier Island people, very conservative people, they're Methodist, they do not approve of that. So no to Hollywood. You also will not find alcohol served by any Tangier Island establishment. It is officially dry, but like all dry counties, you're allowed to bring your own. So if you want alcohol on Tangier Island, you better pack it, because once you're on the island, there is absolutely no way to get that. Okay, what else will you not find on this island? Big vehicles. Okay, there are no place on Tangier Island for Hummers. they wouldn't even be able to go down the streets, and you'll see the streets. A Hummer would not fit down a Tanger Island street. So we're not going to see big vehicles. They also don't have a jail. They have no prison facilities. If someone were to need to be incarcerated, because there's no public drunkenness, so I don't even know why anyone would need to be incarcerated, they just stay at the police chief's house. There's only one police person. And then they ship them out to the mainland. You also will not find chain places. There's no McDonald's, no Starbucks, nothing. Nothing with a neon sign that you would recognize. There's no place to get any of the familiar foods you might get in other tourist places. So though tourism is part of its, how it supports itself, it's not touristy, if that makes sense. All right. This is downtown Tanger Island. Woo-hoo, what a hopping place. You got a restaurant selling crab, every version of crab you can imagine, and you got a gift shop, and you got your golf carts, which are the vehicles you will find. There must be more golf carts than there are humans on the island, and little motorbikes and mopeds, but that's it. That is the most hopping it gets in Tanger Island. That's it. So you don't go there for the nightlife. This is a typical street, kind of with a human there to show you the perspective. Now you're gonna fit a Hummer down that? That's a street. That's not an alley. That's a street. This is a thoroughfare in Tanger. What passes for a thoroughfare in Tanger Island? What will you find in Tanger Island? If you're not gonna find the movie stars and the booze and the McDonald's, well, in alphabetical order, you will find beaches, just a few, very nice. Couple beaches, you can sometimes see glass washes up. I didn't find any, but you find some crab shells and things. Bed and breakfast, I think there are actually three, so they share the business among them. So beaches, bed and breakfast, bikes. People just ride bikes. This is how they get around. If you can't, the go-karts are kind of, you know, also all over the place, but if you just, everybody has a bike with a basket. Kids ride around in the baskets, and what helmet? Nobody ever wears a bike. There isn't a bike helmet to be seen on Tanger Island. I'm like, are you crazy? Get that kid out of that basket and get her a helmet. Nobody wears the helmets. And there's also motorbikes. This is another thoroughfare. They don't even name them, really. You know, it's just like, you know, this boulevard here. So there's motorbikes, bicycles, and go-karts. Golf carts. That would be funny. Okay, what else do you have? You have birds. Now, as you'll see later, there are the reason why there are almost no small animals on Tanger Island. The only animals, the only wildlife you will see is marsh birds. Herons, cranes, pelicans, other marsh birds, which I'm sure you all know. Sandpipers. And they stick pretty close to the water. You also see a lot of boats. This is an island. It has boats in every little nook and cranny. The boats definitely outnumber the people. And there's little boats and big boats. This is a crab fishing boat. And these are the crab pots. And they dunk them in the water and have a little marker thing that they then go. And so this is not a pleasure boat. These guys, how they make their living. Oh, people like this make me nervous. Not a single life jacket in sight. You know, and the man standing on the prow of the boat, he's pulling up his crab pots. These people are not afraid of the water. They are absolutely fearless. We saw little kids driving around in boats. So we saw a kid drive up, he must have been 10 years old, drive up in a go-kart, get out, get in a boat, and drive off. And I'm just standing there just like, that kid's 10. I wouldn't trust my son, he was 16 at the time, to drive a boat. Okay, we got boats. And we got bridges. Now, these bridges are the reason there's no big cars, because they would just collapse under the weight of a Hummer. Remember, this is a very marshy area because 4 feet above sea level. So those bridges are, you know, all that connect the land bits. And it's really, there are quite a few little bridges like that. And it's funny, there's very, very intermittent cell phone reception, and we actually discovered that you have to be standing right at the high point of that bridge to get something. So it's like, you know, if you're on a walk and you get a phone call, you have to stop and stand right there. You can't take a step to either side of the bridge. Okay, now we get to the seas. This is the reason there's no other wildlife in Tangier Island. You got the marsh birds and you got the cats. The island is full, and I mean full, of stray cats. And they have no natural predators. There are, I mean, there must be several hundred, at the very least, as many as people. But I would say there's probably closer to over 1,000. This cat is lying on the dock. Okay, the cats are everywhere. They're not indoor cats. They're not pets. They're lying in the street. They're lying on people's porches. They're lying on the boat docks. They're lying in the boats. They're lying on the golf cart seats that nobody is driving at the time. The cats are everywhere. Now, this is a picture we took, which I absolutely love. Just at a glance, how many cats do you think are in that picture?
6, 7, 8.
All right, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And there were more cats over here, and across the street, the yard was just as full. We're like walking back to try to get as many cats in the picture as we could. They're not pets. They just really just dominate the island, and people must feed them, but I think also they are the ones that they keep the other animal population down. There are no mice, no rats, no squirrels, no little birds. Going to the big herons going, get out of here, you stupid cat. So, cats I didn't know about. I knew about the accent, I knew about the crabs, but I really didn't know about the cats, and I just could not get over them. Here's me being the cat whisperer. And they let you pet them. They're not feral. It's weird because they're kind of outdoor, nobody, they don't belong to anybody, but they're not feral. They're like, you know, food. So I didn't have any food to give them, so I was just trying to charm them with my presence. This is another picture. There are 7 cats and 1 dog in this picture and 2 kids. And the kids are like, oh, look at all the kitties. After a while, you're like, get the heck out of here. You're just, you know, you're trying to walk down the steps and you're about to trip over the millionth cat. And all right, cats, and next in the list is crabs. This is a soft shell crab. Actually, they call them blue crabs, and that's a bit of a little too close up, but you have to get used to the presence of crabs. And I did bring a little thing for show and tell, which I'll pass around. Soft shell crabs begin as hard shell, but like locusts, you know how like locusts, they get on your maple tree and then they sort of leave their shell, so it's like hanging on there. Well, they kind of leave their shells behind like that. So, of course, you know, I was brought one to show you. That's actually the shell. I washed it good. You can touch it. It's the shell of one of these crabs. So if you look at it, you can just almost think it's looking back at you. But honestly, everything on Tangier Island is all about crabs. And I wasn't like a huge seafood fan, so I kept that to myself as well. I made a mistake of asking about Patricia Cornwell book, so I never said I didn't like crabs. Even though I didn't. I took one bite of the crab sandwich, I was like, can I get something else? This is a kind of crab in the wild. His blue legs are what give him the name of the blue crab. So he's like, what are you looking at? And there's Mr. Crab on a plate. This is a crab cakes. So, you know, you go there, you get them like hamburgers. I mean, it's just crab cakes. So, yeah. The Tangier Island people have a different name for every single thing. It's not a crab. They call them jimmies. Actually, those are just the male crabs. Those are just the male adult crabs. They have different names for all the different stages of the crab. I mean, you thought 12 words for snow was bad. They got like, you know, 87 words for different levels of crabs and sizes. And then they don't even call like the little streams, they call it a gut, I guess, because I don't know, looks like intestine. I don't know. But they have a different word for everything. So it's not just the accent, it's the vocabulary. It's almost incomprehensible. So, okay, we had crabs, and now we're in the D's. We got docks. When you have boats, you have docks. And some of the docks are attached to the land and some of them aren't. This one is one that is not because it's one of the docks out in the water that has the crab shacks. So you see, those are not houses. Those are little crab processing shacks. And this dock is not connected to the water. So the boats pull up to the dock, process the crabs, blah, blah, blah. Then they take it into the mainland. So there's really very limited space on the mainland, which is this tiny little island. So they don't do the messy processing of the crabs on the island. That's a unused dock and crab shack, which I thought was really pretty. It's sort of dilapidated, so it belongs in the D's. Okay, docks. Now, dogs. Not as many as cats, but they're still just all over the place. You know, they're standing on the boat dock. When's the last time you went to a lake and walked on a boat dock and there's a dog standing there looking at you? You would be like, oh, here, come here, get off the dock, you're going to fall in. These dogs just are everywhere, and they do belong to people, and they tend to go with their owners, but they go right in the boat. See, this is a boat. He's got a little life vest there, and this is a funny picture. I didn't pick this up. He's got a lot of dogs, and he's looking like guilty about reading it.
So yeah.
I love that picture. So, there are dogs, but the cats have them on the run. They don't mess with the cats because they are really outnumbered. Okay, we're in now the F's. This is a fisherman, and I say men on purpose because there are not fisher people. They are only men doing this very difficult, dangerous, dirty job of crab and oyster catching and cleaning and processing. So that is a Tanager Island fisherman, and I want to just show you, draw your attention to this little sign right here. It says, beware of attack crab. That come out in the picture. But little humor by the fisher guys. All right, there's another fisherman. Now, look at it. No life jacket, not even sitting on one. This is, the boats are like this. They're tiny. They're just serviceable, right? This is not a pleasure boat. This guy is just doing his job. And I don't know. I don't know if they can swim. They made me nervous with that life jacket thing, but I just tried to think about it. Okay, next F is flooding. Remember, 4 feet above sea level, which means when there's a storm surge, Tanager Island's going to get flooded. They know it, and they're ready for it. You can't see in this picture. You can see the next one, what they do about it. Well, this wasn't when I was here, but he's just standing in a couple inches of water. Look at how the houses are up on a kind of pylons. See, they're ready for this flood, believe me. You don't put your house, you know, flush to the ground. It washes away. All right. Okay, if we had floods, now we're in the K's. Kids, Tanager Island during the day is full of women and children. There are no adult males on the island during the day unless they're really, really, really old because they're out fishing. These guys have to work 365 days of the year. They do not get a day off. They barely support themselves with this crab fishing. And there's every year there's more and more restrictions on the types and the sizes. And they get very pinched sometimes. So Tanager Island in the daytime is a place where kids are completely safe. You could go anywhere on the island with your kid. You don't have to worry about it. And they are all over the place. They're jumping off the docks and riding the golf carts and driving the boats. There's more kids in the back. No seat belts. Ever heard of a seat belt or a bike helmet? The kid, you know, there are bumps. Kids might go flying off. They don't think of these things, but I guess it doesn't happen often enough. Okay, now we're in the M's, marshes. I showed you that first picture with small, flat, and marshy. This is actually what used to be a street in better days, you see? And it's been colonized by the sea. And now it is, the street has become a little gut or a stream, and they just left the street sign up, you know, to say like, oh, those were the glory days. Well, remember when you could walk down Wallace, and yeah, oh, those days are gone, boy, you know, like that. This is a very famous, iconic picture of Tanager Island. They're very, very religious people. Like I said, they're Methodists. There are actually a couple, two or three different churches. They have more churches than, you know, at other types of buildings. And this is out in the marshes. There's this sign. So anybody who ever goes to Tanager Island eventually sees this sign. And see, there's the houses. They just back right up against the marsh. The marsh is actually running between the houses. So, you know, probably the mosquitoes are bad. They weren't too bad when we were there. I think I was expecting that to be worse. So that's that. Okay. Now you had to know it's beautiful. It's peaceful. It's, if you love seafood, it's heaven, right? But there is a downside, more than one, of living on an island. And, you know, you're isolated, you're cut off. If you hate somebody, there's really no way to get away from them. You cannot run and hide from anybody on this island. If you run out of something, you know, too bad. The ferry runs once a day. If somebody has a bad accident, got to wait till the helicopter comes from the mainland and then takes them back. So, you know, it's rough. But another downside of the island, which I had not realized going into it, was what do you do with the stuff you don't want anymore? Well, they mostly incinerate anything that can be incinerated. They burn just about everything that's burnable. But there's a lot of stuff you can't burn, like go-karts that don't work anymore. So this is the town dump. There's a lot of stuff like plastics, like laundry baskets or go-karts, plastic things that nobody wants anymore, but what are you going to do with it? You can't there's no bit, you know, large item trash pickup. There's no trash pickup. There's nothing like that. They would have to pay somebody to haul it to the mainland and then pay someone to, I don't know, take it to a job. I mean, these people are barely scraping by, a lot of them. They don't have the resources to do that, so they just shove it in the dump. And I don't know what they're going to do with it all. Here's another John Deere tractor, sort of colonized by the sea, you know, just left to rot, and the sea's washed over it a couple of times, and it's slowly sinking into the sand. And that's an old boat that, I don't know why they didn't burn it, it's wood, but anyway, it's just this old derelict boat. I found that really fascinating. I was like, so it's not all pretty. Oh. Okay. Now, Tencher Island, it's an operating small town. You know, it has all the services. It has a school, it has a health center, it has stores, it has a library. Oh yeah, I didn't know that going into everything, though, is just much, much, much smaller. That's a store, okay? This is not, you're never gonna see a big Kroger, you know, Walmart, Super Walmart, whatever. No, there was this big one, and then there was a smaller one, and that was it. You could get fresh vegetables that were flown in from the mainland. There is a regular plane that brings things to supplies and stuff, but really the store was, you know, and they're really mom and pop operations. You know, they're kind of stores you walk in and they want to know what you want so they can get it for you. You know, it's like, so you can't really do your shopping, you know, privately or anything like that. Okay, any idea what that building could be? Take a guess.
Courthouse.
Well, yeah, maybe a church. It's not, but no. Look at the flagpole.
Courthouse.
It's a school. This is the one school on the island. Now, those are the kids' bikes. See? And these are the golf carts driven by the teenagers who have gotten their driver's license. This is the equivalent of the kids driving their parents' car to school, right? When you graduate from riding your bike to driving the golf cart to school, this is like, man, you have hit the big time. So they do have a school. Now, the kids' parents, if they want them to go to private school on the mainland, they can arrange that. There's a, like I said, that ferry goes back and forth, and they often take kids who are going to, like, private schools or other schools on the mainland. This is, you don't have to send your kids to this one. This is just the one that's there. So yes, that is the school. And there is the library with me in the doorway.
Oh,
jeez. It's like 100 square feet. It's lined with books, and they're all Palestinian honor system. You just sign it out, and I don't even know, they don't collect fines or anything. There's just, it's really, really cool. It's just like all these donated books. I looked in vain for Isle of Dogs by Patricia Cornwell. They did not have a copy of that in the library, which I thought was funny. All right, so library, yeah. Now, I've saved the best for last. There is something very weird about Tanger Island that I didn't know about before I went. When you think about it, though, 4 feet above sea level, trouble with what to do with trash, also would be a problem with what to do with deceased people, right? Where are you going to bury people if you've got very, very limited usable space that you could dig in? Well, you could do cremation, but, you know, for personal reasons, a lot of people don't care for that. Plus, the technology to do that hasn't always been around. So this island's been settled since the 1680s, and the Native American tribes didn't live there. They used it as a kind of they didn't live there for long stretches of time. They tended to go there and sort of spend the summer there, and then they would leave. But the European descendants, they've been there since the 1680s. Where are they putting all their dead people? Well, okay, this is a cemetery. This is one of the two or three established cemeteries. Like all cemeteries, it's got tombstones, which all of these would have had to be brought on the ferry from the mainland. There's no natural rock. There's no stone carving industry. So, but you can see they're very, very close together. You can't really even walk between them. You actually have to walk on top of them. And these flat ones are so that they don't have to go down too far. You basically are just going down maybe a foot, and then you cover them over with this thing. So the body kind of rests, like going in a basement that you can see the window, you can see out the street, like that. But that's a cemetery that has been filled up long ago. This is a really much older cemetery. So these people were born in the early 1800s, and some of the older ones even go farther back. But you see, the land gets saturated by the storm surge, and the stones fall over. There's really no person or society there that's making sure that this doesn't happen. They're just kind of letting the cemetery fall apart. They're not going to really spend their resources on that. These people are really super sentimental about their tombstones. Okay. What do you do when the cemeteries have filled up? Well, what else would you do but use your front yard? Okay, so yard once went all the way up here to the street. Well, why not just fence off that front part of the yard, and there's Grandma, Grandpa, and Uncle Jack, and Uncle Jack's sister, what was her name? And now you have no excuse for not laying flowers on those graves, because they're right in front of the house. Why wouldn't you want a cemetery in front of your house, right? Maybe you don't want to think about that too much, but there they are. That's what they did. Nobody has, the people who have a big front lawn, there are very, very few houses that have a big lawn that stretches out. You know that people are like, I wonder if we could turn that into another little mini cemetery. I mean, right next to the house, Kids go out and play and don't step on the newly dug grave. Okay, freaky. So that was a little odd, but they don't seem to consider it odd, so I pretended it wasn't odd either. When in Rome. My final slide for you is, to me, an absolute classic Tanger Island photograph. First of all, you have your flat, marshy land, and your little tiny road, barely paved. And then you have the ubiquitous golf cart, and you have a guy in a hat. And he's unusual because it's during the day. He must have broke his leg or something. But he's driving a golf cart, and look, there's a dog.
Yeah.
And is he paying attention to the fact that the dog's about to jump out of the go-kart and golf cart? No, nobody seems to pay any attention to whether they're running over the animals or they're, in the golf cart. And he's transporting something in his golf cart. This looks like scavenged wood or something. People transport everything in these golf carts. They pile them full of people, kids, dogs, stuff, and it's all just hanging out the sides. And it's just, I love this picture because he's like, what? What's so strange about the fact that I am driving this golf cart and I have a dog and it's about to leap out and I'm not even gonna notice? So anyway, that to me was the classic Tanger Island look. So if you remember anything about it, that's probably a good picture. So, okay, and that's it.
Catherine, did they ever have any hurricanes that have wiped them out? I mean, of all the hundreds of years, you'd think at some point they would have had crisis with a hurricane.
I think they have, because most of the structures are not that old. I think there are no houses that go back to the 1700s. So I think they have, just picked up and moved on. It didn't disturb the crabs, and where there's crabs, they're going to be there doing their fishing. The island's population has fluctuated over the years, and I think following some of those, it might have, people fled to the mainland, but then they, their kids would come back and stuff. There's a lot of people on the island who have never left it. They just, they're like, I don't see any need to leave, And we're like, oh, okay. that works for you. And you're like, get me out of here. You start to feel a little claustrophobic after a while, like, haven't we seen this 8,000 times before? Haven't we been around this little loop? I mean, there's nothing else to do for entertainment except drive around in a golf cart. Seriously? People just drive around in golf carts to put kids to sleep. I mean, it's like, you know, they just wave to each other. So, yeah.
Yeah, with that strange sounding accent, where did the people originally come from who settled down?
Cornwall.
Cornwall. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, if you went to Cornwall, you might hear an accent slightly.
Maybe. You know, linguists call the Tangier Island accent a language fossil. There are others, especially along the coast, along the Outer Banks. They call it the Tidewater accent. Language fossil is probably the best phrase. I don't even think they still have that language in Cornwall. See, it kind of like, it didn't move on. I mean, all accents develop, but these people, because they're so isolated and for so hundreds of years, really had very little contact. Once they were there, they just, you know, just kind of stayed the way it was.
Did you find out about this? We lived on the Chesapeake for part of every year, and I never heard of them. And I was stunned when you asked me about it, and I didn't know anything.
Well, I saw that documentary, The Story of English, when I was 28, just got it from the library. You know, I mean, I was a graduate student in English at IU, you know, so I was like, oh, Story of English, I might learn something. And the minute I heard those kids say, I don't type, pertinent, I'm like, oh my God, those kids are just talking like they're aliens from another planet. You know, these are Americans whose ancestors have been here way longer than mine. I wanted to hear it in real life. Actually, I went there just all like, I'm going to hear this now. I was trembling with excitement. Could not care less about the crabs, but I was like, please talk to me. Well, the first thing that happened was the people who got us settled in the B&B, and then we went out to there, nobody had the accent. And so I'm like, where are you from? And they're like, I'm from Virginia, I'm from Maryland. You know, they were all from off island running the restaurant in the B&B. So I was like, ugh. So 2 hours before we were supposed to leave on the ferry going out again, because you're there for 24 hours. You can stay another 24 hours, but you don't get to leave any other time but when that ferry leaves. And I was like, I'm never going to hear a real Tangier Island accent. I came all the way here, wah, wah, wah. And then I had just finished getting my stuff packed, and I went and sat, this is a bed and breakfast, so it kind of the house, and I went and sat in the living room. I was just paging through a magazine, feeling very, you know, discouraged about the fact that I had come all this way. And it's a little, you can't walk up to somebody and go like, hey, will you talk so I can see if you have the accent? Like, I don't really, and I don't hear perfectly, so I was having trouble like even telling if people in the distance had this. I'm sort of like, and you know, then they're like, what? Crabs, aren't they awesome? But then I'm sitting there and the door to the house opens, and this older lady, my nice, pleasant-looking older lady, comes in with a mop and a bucket. And she said something to me, which I didn't understand. She gestured, which I took to mean she needed to get up, needed to get up. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, I didn't understand her. Therefore, she must have been sounding like those guys. So I'm like, okay, now the thing to do is, okay, let's handle this calmly.
Don't scare her
off by saying, hey, you talk funny. Say something again. I didn't want to be like, and I was like, there now. So I'm like, I got up and I'm like looking over at the fireplace, and I was like, so, how long have you worked here? She's like, 20 years I've been here. It's not too bad. And I was like, I was like, where's my ranger girl? And I just engaged her in conversation a little bit longer, and it was like, oh, is it a nice place to work? She's like, they didn't have a bad none coming here. I don't mind coming here every day, clean up. I'm like, I heard it. And then, you know, I could think of nothing for the rest until I got back on the ferry and got seasick. But I had about 2 hours where I was just like, walking on air because I heard the Tangier Island accent, and I heard about it, and you know, you see millions of things on TV, and I just was like, I have to go there. I must go there. I felt like a pull toward it to actually hear that for myself. So it was a blast. It's an absolute blast. Not for everybody, but
you think that being around the sea all the time as they are ever since 1680. That they would have thought to bury the dead at sea,
right.
unless the tide would have washed them back up on the bank.
I can only say that I don't
wait for the resurrection.
Oh, well, the resurrection can come in the water, too, right?
Yeah,
well.
It seems like there's a small population. Do, like, new people come and live there to keep it from brother Miriam's cousin, you know?
Yeah, there are actually, a lot of the permanent residents are actually from off-island. They own the B&Bs because they had the capital to invest in the B&Bs and the restaurants. The island people do not own those places. They don't run those restaurants and stores yet. Those tended to be owned and operated by people who came to Tanager Island, and then they stayed and became permanent residents. So yeah, they do bring in the new blood. That would be a little bit of a problem, though.
There are actually some other areas in this country where you have this cultural isolation that's produced, you know, a dialect or accent that is carryover, such as the Gullah accent. And however, it's interesting, tourism has actually impacted that in a positive way, because people have realized down there, and all the hotels will teach you, if you don't know, they will teach you, if you're carrying the bags or fixing the food, that you're to speak in that certain kind of way. You'll get better tips, you'll get better everything. So there's an encouragement to maintain itself for the tourist. And it'll be interesting when the Tanager Islanders figure this out.
Well, that's why I liked talking to my cleaning lady, because I didn't feel like she was actually thinking, I've got to put a show on for this tourist. I mean, maybe she was, but she didn't. She just seemed like she was just talking. And I did have trouble understanding her, but we were just talking about how long she worked there and stuff, and she didn't seem to even notice that we spoke very differently. She actually, you know, she just politely asked me where I was from, you know, and I said I grew up in Chicago and I live in Kentucky now, and like one of the few people ever I've ever met outside of the state who didn't immediately say Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, yeah. I've traveled to Europe and I say I'm from Kentucky and they're like, Kentucky Fried Chicken. she didn't say that because she probably never seen one in her whole life. There isn't a Kentucky Fried Chicken on Tanager Island.
Yeah. They have televisions.
You know, just a couple of years ago, in fact, right before we went, that same exact year, like 6 months before, they had gotten high-speed internet, so everybody suddenly had a satellite dish, and I actually asked one of the people, it was actually the owner of a restaurant who was not an islander, but she had lived there for many years. I said, what is the biggest thing that has changed about Tanager Island? She'd been there 13, 14 years since you've been here, and she said, absolutely, high-speed internet. It just completely revolutionized how people think, you know, how they perceive their place in the world. So. I mean, a lot of people know about this place and have written about it, and it's really, there's a very, very interesting book, I can't remember, the man's name is David Shores. Anyway, just, it's all about the speech of Tanager Island, and it's just, I mean, the speech creates the way of thinking, and they have a unique lifestyle, a unique language, and I do whatever they need to maintain that. I wish they didn't have to work so hard. That crab fishing is actually very difficult. So, anyway, anybody?
Did you get a chance to go into the school or to see?
No, I didn't go into the school. We just, you know, we just walked around. You know, when you're a tourist in a place where people are actually living and working, it's not like George Washington's birthplace where nobody actually lives except for the recreators. You know, the lady sitting in the big, you know, with the big cooking pot pretending to speak with a colonial accent. It wasn't like that at all. These people were going about their daily life. When the golf cart passed you, you know, full of groceries. These are just, you know, mom hauling the kids and the groceries to and from the store. You know, it was, just try to stay out of their way and not be too immodest. I mean, they're very modest people. You know, you want to go there wearing, you know, tube tops and stuff like that. I mean, not that they wouldn't deal with you, but you can just tell it's a place that doesn't belong, bikinis and stuff. No fear there. Yeah, I was not even tempted to wear a bikini.
Where did they get the name Tanager Island?
I don't know. It actually is, I believe, named after the one in North Africa. I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive about that. It had several names before it got Tanager Island. They used to call it like Russell's Island, and it was Smith's Island. And, I don't know. They just, over time, that one just stuck. But I forgot to actually look. I did know at one time, because, you know, my way of going on vacation is to spend like 6 weeks preparing for it by reading every single thing. And, making my own little cheat sheet, you know, and bringing it with me so that, you know, while I'm there, I can actually absorb it. So, but I did know it one time, and I was hoping no one would ask me that. Well, are you full of crabs in Tanger Island?
And they don't fish enough to export?
What?
They don't fish enough to export?
That is all they do with it. These people don't eat those things.
They don't
things.
Eat that stuff? Oh, okay.
Well, they do a bit, but they don't live high on it. No, they're selling it. No. The crabs that come in are being sold to the tourists on Tanger Island, and they're being, you know, exported. Yeah.
Do they have like a packing area for cleaning the...
Yeah, those are those crab shacks that are out on docks that are not connected to the mainland. You drive your boat up to this dock that's like a little island in and of itself. You do all the cleaning and packing, and then you bring it on the boat back to the mainland. There's just no room on the mainland for that kind of industrial, you know, cleaning of crabs. And they're nasty, honestly.
Yeah.
You're all lucky I was able to pick this up. But I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, we lived on it.
Yeah. All right, anybody else? Everything you always wanted to know about Tanger Island, but didn't know it was there to ask?
And why did they become part of Virginia instead of Maryland?
You know, it's funny, it is a little closer to Maryland, not much, but it is part of Virginia. It's Accomack, I don't know how to say that, Accomack County, Virginia, Accomack?
Yeah, and it would make sense because Maryland was settled by Catholics and they, you know, yeah, okay, got it.
Right, okay. Well, our next show will be Rosemary explaining all about Maryland and Virginia and settlement.
Thank you. Yeah.